Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hello, welcome to the catch up. Very nice of you to join us. Make
Hello.
Sure you subscribe.
Where did you come from? Out of nowhere.
What? We're back.
What's going on?
We're bloody back.
What are we doing in here?
Make sure you subscribe. You'll get the podcast easier. Very sadly, we learned today that more lewd NRL videos are going to surface very soon.
Is this a coincidence
that Matty Johns is saying calling for less substitutes? Because each club will only have about 14 players left by the time we all get suspended.
14? You're generous.
Oh, you're again, it'll be a 10-a-side game.
Let's go. Also, we were talking about I love you and when it's appropriate to say those words. It's kind of funny having this conversation in here. You're weirdos.
Not at work.
Plus the annoying things your partner does. Apparently, Marto doesn't do anything annoying.
Oh, no, I'm onto that list.
Yeah.
We will be revisiting this as soon as Kath gets back to me.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want one for free?
Yeah.
I've worked with Marto for how long now? Four or five years?
Oh, wait.
I have noticed, and I know we're not romantically involved yet, but in the kitchen every morning I've noticed you leave cupboards open all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You're that guy.
And I close them.
And you know what else I do? If I do close them, I slam them.
I know, because you're mad at something.
Because I'm used to some places having soft closes, you know, when you can slam it as hard as you like, and they'll go...
Yeah, that's a front door.
Yeah.
Nobody's got the air canister on the bloody...
I'm a slammer of her car as well when I realise I slam everything because I like to make sure that bloody thing's shut.
Yeah. Oh, and you like noise.
Hey, I'm with you on that one, actually. Because, you know, I've got that soft closed toilet seat as well and sometimes I just won't put the seat down because it makes too much noise.
I've got three toilets at home. I don't want to show off, but two soft closers and one, you know...
One slammer. Big old slammer.
And you never
use the slammer, right?
I drop it down and always get in trouble because it's in Kath's toilet it's a long story.
It is a long story.
Have I ever told you about my son who, when he was young, you've got three kids. This has got nothing to do with anything.
Okay, great.
Nick, we wait until Charlie starts going to the toilet. So when you're at shops, they have to go in with the mother, okay?
Yeah, of course.
You know, right? Big, heavy toilet one day at Myers at Chermside, ceramic, and he'd just gotten to the stage where he was tall enough, about four, to get up there
okay,
and do
Harry's
it.
Going to be stoked you're telling
His
me.
His willy got crushed. And you know what? He got to the stage.
Little
I told this story, I reckon, 15 years ago on air, all right? And then his willy got crushed, so he never, ever, for the next 5 years till he was about 10, lifted the toilet lid, the toilet seat up. So there was wee on every toilet seat in our house for years.
It didn't damage him, did
it? No, it just crushed him, and there's nothing worse.
It just crushed his dick.
Yeah.
No long-term damage there. No.
Flat willy.
No,
it's rounded out.
Going?
Hasn't gone to the bathroom for 15 years.
His mates aren't listening to
Someone
the
will
podcast.
Tell him you'll get in trouble.
What are you up to today, Harry? Not pissing, that's for sure. I know that much.
He had used a urinal his whole life.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
He was our nation's Prime Minister. Now he's just a very, very wealthy man from Sydney, but he loves to keep involved. Good morning, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, everybody on Triple M in Brisbane and to the Big Breakfast.
What did you make of Scott Morrison, who's the current Prime Minister's climate change package?
Robin Bailey, that's hilarious. Scott Morrison's climate change. He's a climate change denier. He's an Episcopalian Christian that thinks that God's going to fix everything for a start. I've got a great simpatico with the environment, as you know. I was Minister for the Environment. I get out in the environment on my kayak. And I fundamentally agree with a cap on emissions and an emissions trading scheme. Now, Scott Morrison could easily do something to control emissions by controlling his own flatulence. He's a flatulent individual, a terrible man. As you know, he pooped himself in the Engadine McDonald's in 1997.
I think we've heard about that.
Too many Parmigianas, Nick Cody. One of your favourite meals. The cheese and the ham and the Napoli sauce all working together in the gut of a man that lives in the shah.
It's a very fancy meal, isn't it, Uncle Mel?
No, it's a complex meal. I mean, I like the Italians, and I've been to Parma, where the Parmigiana was, in fact, invented. You've got to go there. It's a terrific and beautiful town. It's got an ancient centre to it, but that meal is for despicable bogans.
Does it come with schooners in Parma?
Scunere, Nicholas, is an Italian word meaning to imbibe or to slake the bird. Mio scunere molto bono.
Oh, you asked.
Now,
you
Rich
really
Uncle
did.
Mel, so many liberal MPs are resigning. Do you see that as a show of support?
Well, of course I do. I've been enjoying it. Rats off a sinking ship, low rats off a vile, stinking ship headed by Scott Morrison, Michael Keenan, Kelly O'Dwyer, Steve Jobo, of course, Julie Bishop, the old bachelor, has gone, and, of course, Christopher Pan. And he's spending a lot more time up at my place on the rower.
Yes.
You'll probably hear him in the background. There he is. And now, they aren't household names because no one gives two hoots who retires. You'll all just vote for the same that you've always voted for at the next election, Labor or Liberal. Probably a lot of working class people on your station are there voting Labor because their dad had crappy jobs, and on it goes, passing pain on to pain.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we know what
to talk. And yes, in order, in answer to your question, Nicholas, yes, I do.
Can't remember what the question was.
No one cares.
Can I check, Rich Uncle Mel? Now, I went on the weekend. It's the Brisbane Comedy Festival. I went to Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney's comedy show. Oh, well, it was a very pleasant. He's very rude on stage, that Moon Man. But anyway, you used to always be involved and with him and tied up with him. You weren't there.
Well, no. I think he's dropped his impersonation of me. He's moved on. That's it. He's unhitched his wagon from my star. Mind you, I mean, to see him impersonate me on stage was quite funny in and of itself. You know, I was giving him 20 years, but he was giving me 9 to 10 kilos.
Oh.
So watch a chubby guy sweating around there with his white hair trying to impersonate me. I thought, come on, mate, let us go.
Well, Moon Man, he's always looking after himself.
Individual.
So what have you been up to this week?
Well, I'm into maths. Like every other man in this country, I've fallen hopelessly head over heels in love with Jules, the big redhead. She's swooped up Cam now. And I think to myself, you know, why didn't you have a partner before this, Jules? You know, you're knocking on the door of 37. You're probably, you know, as crazy as a snake in reality. Hard work, but I've fallen in love with her. And, of course, Lucy and I enjoy, you know, skinning up a fatty and having a great time watching maps. So that's all we do, if I'm not downstairs with Christopher in the basement on the rower. Now, before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Forest Lake.
Forest Lake. Oh, wow.
Anywhere that's got a forest and a lake, be it man-made, is a terrific place. I've never been there, and I never will.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Let's talk about text etiquette. And while that song's been on, Marto's been talking up the virtues of the eggplant emoji.
You're not allowed to talk about it. Do you know what it is?
No, I don't. And I'm glad I don't. Yeah, see, I don't listen to their conversations. I sing along with the songs. But anyway, I want to talk about text etiquette because I have this scenario going on with my sister, actually, who lives in Sydney. And she and I can get quite passionate at times on text message. We'll have family arguments, as you do, about stuff. But, you know, we'll be going backwards and forwards, and she's got her phone on her all the time. So it's not like you can say, oh, I put it down and come back a couple of hours later. But if she doesn't like what I've just said to her, she doesn't reply. You can't do that.
Can you?
You can't do that.
Won't reply.
Yeah, she just goes silent. Oof. And then if I change
Is that bad?
Yes. If I change the topic of conversation, she'll come back to me. I'm like, no.
Whoa.
You can say I don't like what you said or let's agree to disagree or whatever it is. It doesn't matter.
Are you sure she's always got a phone on here? Because I don't carry my phone around all often. If I'm doing some work, I'll put it somewhere and every hour or two I'll check on it and just
but here's the thing,
send a message,
right?
And then move on.
With people that are close to you, you know what their phone life is like.
Yeah.
So I've got one girlfriend who works in a law firm and she can't respond on phone between 9 and 5. So
she's
never
billing herself out every 6 minutes.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So I just know that if I send her a text at 9:05, I won't get a reply till 5:30.
Yeah.
Right. But with people who you know have their phones on them all the time and then they start a conversation and then stop, that drives me bananas.
Oh.
Is that?
Yeah.
It's like a conversation where you just turn your back. Don't
For
you
sure.
reckon?
I also don't like the you miss a call and you call back a second later and they don't pick up. It's like, dude, you were just on the phone.
Yeah, you were just ringing
me. You're just trying to call.
Or, no, I'd give them a backup. Like, that just means I put the phone down and walked away. Because are you a phone on you all the time?
Oh, most of the time. Every second of the day? Yeah, most of the time.
Do you answer
phone on the toilet? I'm a phone on the toilet.
Oh, are you?
Getting work done.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
No, don't
in
do that.
More ways than one.
Don't do that. What do you do? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Do you talk to people on the phone when you're in the toilet?
No, not I don't talk to them. I'm not an animal. I'll text and send selfies, but I'm not talking.
Most people know Tyrone May, 5'8 from the Penrith Panthers, was arrested yesterday at 9 a.m. He handed himself in with his lawyer and facing charges that are relating to some videos that have been distributed. Okay, everyone are clear with that?
Yeah, we're clear.
Todd Greenberg, the boss of the NRL, as if he hasn't had a bad enough off-season. This is what he had to say yesterday, and this makes a bit more logical sense than what it took Peter Beattie about 18 minutes to say the other day. This is the bottom line for rugby league.
What I've seen is a lot of stupidity. Today, what tells me is gone from stupidity to being illegal. If they get into the illegal category, they put their whole career and their livelihood at risk.
Right, they're Gonski.
Yep, there's Gonski.
I see yesterday at lunch, he was sitting next to Gus Gould, and then, of course, the camera straight away. Bad timing. Well, Greenberg came up and did that launch on Monday and was confronted with him. Lunch yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting next to Gus Gould, who the cameras got hold of. And it's predictable what he said.
Do you feel let down by the playing group?
I think that's at the bare minimum of how I feel at the moment. We have a very strong club. And, you know, I'm shattered that this has happened to our club, but we'll get through it.
And this is what he has to do as the general manager.
At the moment, my obligation is to give the support to these players that they deserve. You know, I'm shattered that this has happened to our club, but we'll get through it.
All right.
Has it always happened, or is it just now that because there's more like a groundswell and then more videos are coming out?
But do you remember the Matty Johns problems about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And that was relating to group a number of men. It seems to be rugby league. I'm going to say this. I never saw it in rugby union. Maybe they're doing it now, but AFL doesn't seem to do this group stuff.
Well, we don't hear about it.
Mm.
And that's the thing.
But we hear about AFL doing drugs, and we all got a fair appreciation that a lot of them are doing drugs, etc.
Yeah, that's why I feel bad for my AFL brethren, right? It's just bloody Ben Cousins carrying a whole league by himself. Those you guys have spread the workload around.
A few different clubs, a few different players.
It's just Ben Cousins versus the world in the AFL.
But it's the group sex thing. Like, what's with awful. Other blokes? Gus Gould tried to say that it's happening. You've got boys, I've got a son. Is it happening out there?
Extremely widespread. And talking to people in circles that deal with this every day, court judges and police and all that sort of thing, we're dealing with this in all walks of life. And the real worrying thing is that this is conditioned into the kids in the schools. This age of technology and mobile phones and cameras, it is commonplace from a very, very young age, kids to be sharing videos and explicit videos.
Doesn't make sense.
Not to us, it doesn't.
That's classic beasting head, Gus Gould there, and he's trying to push it away and go, no, this is part of society. This
I
is
do
what
actually
you expect.
Think he's a bit right. I do. Pornography is a click away now. We didn't have access to that sort of stuff when we were kids. We didn't.
That's viewing other people, maybe professionals, sometimes amateurs, making pornography, but are our kids showing themselves? Maybe I need to have more of a chat with my son, but I don't think they're standing around with other men masturbating.
No, but they're sharing videos.
With girls
YouTube.
While hitting them. Yeah, yes. Maybe they're conditioned to it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's bring
in. Well, Dobbo's here.
Hello.
Rugby
it's not
league
good,
insider.
Is it? It's not good. I just say, we've all seen some of the videos that have been circulating, and we don't know exactly who is involved in them, but the rugby league players at this moment, and they're shocking. They are absolutely as bad as you could ever see. What I will say is that you talk about one club, there's a tsunami coming. There is a lot more videos out there.
Really?
The NRL are aware.
Like
the NRL are aware.
They're aware of
that there's more to come. And this is going to... Marto, I do believe that in rugby league at the moment it is here, but I can tell you it is in society. I spoke to some dads the other day at the school where my kids go to, and they've got boys in year 12, and the school is drumming into them, trying to teach them about this. It's starting in year 9, it's starting in year 10.
What, so, stop sharing things?
Because it is a society thing, and I know it's really at the moment in rugby league, and I agree with you about we haven't seen it in other codes, we just haven't seen it, But boy, oh boy, like after what the video, and you guys were saying,
there's a
like
difference, surely, between asking a girlfriend to send a photo of her breasts and this stuff.
100%. It just is horrific, horrific.
But there's also the lines have become blurred about just how boys and girls view each other. And I've seen that with my own sons, just things that
I don't want to get bogged down in that. Like, that seems to be a society problem. But I want to put it to you, if I'm a sponsor, righto, I've got a manufacturing company worth $27 million. I pour $400,000 into a rugby league club.
You walk.
I'm ringing them today and I'm going, that's it, I'm out of this.
You walk. Mm. You walk.
They will have no money left. Yeah. Not one smart person can get involved with rugby league from this point on.
I'm an Arden Panthers fan, but I am finding it so hard to get up for this season.
You own 5 Penrith Panthers jerseys,
oh,
I think.
Oh, and so.
All right.
Don't you worry about it. I don't support their new one. And I'm so I am so disappointed
in
the club. And they should be stood down, because I haven't seen the videos, but what's been described, it's violence against women. And if the NRL are coming down on it, get rid of them.
Hold on, let's just check. And this will be, Broncos, if you're listening, this will give you a little barometer. Has this turned you off rugby league, these incidents? And as I said, there's more going to come, because they're all on people's phones and people want to hurt people. They just distribute these videos.
Will it change your behaviour around the game? How far away are we from the start?
Next weekend.
Yeah. There you go.
This is dangerous this weekend. There's no games.
Is it turning you off the game, Tony of Chermside?
Yeah, g'day. No, absolutely not. I think if, you know, these players aren't the brightest, but why should we be turned off?
Yeah, there's not, I guess, all right, I will accept that. There's not many of them doing all this, and I don't like any parents to say more rugby league players are role models. That is wrong. Mm. I know that, but they're just, suddenly their behaviour's just wicked. Mm.
I don't know. You just can't put them up on that much of a pedestal, these blokes.
Right, just make them like animals that we go and get entertained by.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Let's go to Penny of Mount Omini. What do you reckon about this? Has all this off-field stuff turned you off the game?
Absolutely, yes. I actually gave up my membership this year. I'm a member of the Broncos, but just I couldn't endorse the support of one of the players from the Broncos. I have a 2.5-year-old son, and you know, I'm really excited to take him to the game because it's my passion. But I just can't say, hey, you know, clap these guys. You know, yes, they're good on the field, but they are role models, unfortunately. You know, they are getting paid big dollars to be in the public eye, to be professional sportsmen. And unfortunately for them, that is a whole package. They do a lot of good community work, a lot of guys.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just these few that I just can't say to my son, please, you know, look up to these guys and behave like them.
So, Penny, will you wait a while, see what happens, and then maybe in a couple of years or in another year go back?
I really hope so. I hope that they do clean it up. Like, there are other industries where this sort of behaviour isn't tolerated and it's stamped out immediately. So hopefully the NRL will take that kind of a stance and really do some work with the players to make it a bit more, you know, wholesome and the values that they espouse that they have to uphold.
The good guys at each club should be the ones cleaning it up, the actual players. You shouldn't have to leave it to administration. I reckon Penny's one of many who are doing the same thing.
Michael of Chandler, what do you think? Has it turned you off rugby league?
Well, I can certainly say that it's increased memberships and registrations at AFL clubs. Local AFL club I'm part of, we've actually increased the number of under 10 teams from 4 to 5. Mm. And that fifth team is pretty much made up of ex-rugby league and some rugby union kids, with parents sort of pulling them out of rugby league and into AFL, wanting more of that family dynamic, that family environment, free of sort of all the controversy and so forth. So it's certainly increased registrations in AFL.
That's an on-the-ground stat. Well done, Michael. That's extraordinary.
Yeah. It's good for AFL.
Yeah.
It's worked out all right.
It's funny though, isn't it? I mean, I was having this argument with my husband, Sean, last night, and he's saying, well, other codes do have bad behaviour, but we don't hear about it as much, and it's not to the same volume.
Yeah, you heard about those naughty cricketers with the sandpaper. Yeah. Naughty, naughty cricketers. You can't do that.
The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Yesterday morning about 8:30, we had somebody ring through and go, there's a car on fire on the side of the Bruce Highway heading northbound near Burpengary.
And I had a crack at you because you were giving some alternative route.
I suggested
that was
to get off the highway at Deception Bay Road, travel up Morayfield Road and Old Gympie Road and then get back on at King Street at Caboolture, trying to help.
gave it again. Great.
Okie dokie. Well, that was yesterday. There's probably still some charred grass at the side of the road, but I was watching the news last night and they had the story. And there was tyres popping. There was all sorts of things going on.
Naomi Gray had pulled over with engine trouble at Beerburrum. When she restarted the car, flames began pouring out from underneath the bonnet. Her only option, grab what she could and retreat.
So they had vision, Nick, as you know, a lot of these things now. Someone turns on their mobile phone, starts filming, and it was fire on the side of the road.
It was terrible.
It was. It was terrible and terrifying for the poor girl. And it actually showed her walking away from the car while it was on fire with a couple of bags under her arm. Okay. Right.
Yeah, got it.
All right, this little bit came to light.
Naomi had borrowed the Mazda from a friend to get to work.
Oops.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. I don't know what's worse, the phone call that has broken down.
I won't be getting that Mazda back here to Savo.
Yeah.
Or
Thursday. All right, poor Naomi.
Where is it?
All right. It's no laughing the news.
Yes, didn't you see on the news?
You like the news?
Did you see your car on the news?
Yeah, well.
Oh, hot car. Hey, all right. It's not funny.
Okay,
but
sorry.
Naomi's fine.
Okay, I'm back.
Naomi's fine. The Maz is no good. I'm figuring that maybe the friend didn't have much fuel in there because it didn't seem to really explode too much.
Oh, okay.
It was a hot fire, but it wasn't.
You'd have to have some fuel to get it going.
Well,
don't
$5. If you're lending Naomi a car, you're only putting a couple. Anyway, let's forget about that part.
Okay.
There was a concern, and the reporter was very concerned about this bit.
Before firefighters arrived, Rebecca Smith was the only person who stopped to help.
There's someone in the car. You can't leave them by themselves. It's a young girl.
I saw that.
Oh, righto.
And I went, I don't think I would have stopped, which is terrible. Because when it was pointed out to me, I'm thinking, well, what if no one stopped and no one did apart from that woman? But the reason why I wouldn't stop is that I wouldn't know how to help. Like I don't have a fire extinguisher in my car.
In my previous life, I've had two utes that had fire extinguishers. If I did, I'd want to get the bloody thing going because I always was looking for something to put out. But now, I'm with you. Would you stop, Nick?
Oh, you'd have to stop and help.
But why?
But
if somebody else was already stopped, if somebody had already stopped, do you drive by? Like, there's no use having 3, 4, 5, 6 people stopped
but
on
see,
the side of a highway.
I would stop
Someone's already stopped, yeah.
Yeah, I would stop if it was a main road, like if it was Gympie Road. Yeah. But being on the M1.
This is 110K or 100K just in that part.
That
sounds
terrible.
Over and just try and give her some tips of things she should say to her mate, who she borrowed the Mazda off to try and make her feel better. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I just filled it with petrol after a car wash. I'd had it detailed.
You owe me.
I'm intrigued though because
can I run it by anyone else? What happens? What happens when you do stop? Like, give us a yell. 133353. Have you ever stopped and it hasn't? Like, you feel like an idiot if you stop and you don't actually help out.
Except though that means you're showing care and compassion.
But
and
she's already got care and compassion. She doesn't need anyone else to show, does she?
Well, if you can help, it could.
Would you have stopped there yesterday? No. Just keep going. Don't cause more problems.
We get you. It's all right. Let them have a crack.
Yeah, right.
Hayden of Jindalee, would you stop? Have you stopped?
Oh, I have stopped before. I'm a retired fire and rescue personnel, so it's in my nature. Like, I'm like Marta. I've got a fire extinguisher, first aid kit, right ready to go in the back of the wagon if anything happens.
Oh, you're prepared. You're going around looking for fires.
So, like, you see something like that, like even stop for old ladies to change their car tyres if they got flatties. But you see something like that, you pull over, the first thing you ask, your petrol, diesel, LPG, because then you know how far everyone's got to get back if there's a sudden bang that goes off in sex. Yep.
Can you tell me how far you... go through them for me.
Oh, hang on. We'll get to the original question that you're getting to first. You get the
Sorry.
We don't often have a smart person. Braden changes flats. He knows how to do radio.
Yeah, like, if there's a couple of people there, it's like, did you get everything out of the car? You're all right, not a problem. Is your car insured? Yep, not a problem. There's no need to hang around there. Like, you're not there for any bloody counselling session or anything like that. So, see you later. If you got someone on the way, not a problem. Try and have a lovely day from there. So, hey.
Okay.
But, rightio, if you got...
Last
time. Right, thank you. Now that you've said what you wanted to, excellent.
So, diesel is going to need an initial flame to go off when it hits the tank. So it's going to be a while. Usually your tank goes and it trips on the ground and you're going to get a nice fireball on the ground, liquid if you've got petrol, the tank's going to explode with all the fumes in there. Mm. It's going to let off a nice sudden boom. That's going to go straight up in the air. But if you've got an LPG tank, that's going to take a bit of time before that heats up. And when that goes off, you're going to have shrapnel and shit going everywhere. So
the LPG, get back.
Yeah, get back, yeah. They're usually the first few questions you want to ask someone if there's a fire, like, is it an LPG, petrol, diesel vehicle? Then you know how far you want to...
You're incredible, Hayden.
Okay, thank you, Hayden. Ask,
Hayden, were you a bit of a pyro as a kid?
I won't respond to that.
Okay, fair enough. Righto, excellent. What? Thanks for your help.
What a man.
Wow, Daniel of Redcliffe, have you stopped? Yeah. Would you stop? What happened?
I have, about 6 years ago, guys. I was heading back from a birthday party. It was about 9 o'clock at night, and just heading up Old Narangbar Road back towards Narangbar, and I was passing a little blue Suzuki that was rested up against a tree. All lights are out. It's pretty dull. You know, there's no lights along that road, and it just didn't feel right. So I did a U-ey, come back, and sure enough, on inspecting the car, there was a young girl slumped over the steering wheel.
Trapped.
A little bit of a head injury there. She was trapped in the car. So I was first on scene. So, got the ambulance, got the fireys out, and happy days. They got her out of the car and off to hospital, and she's all good.
Thank God for you, Daniel. Look at you.
Yeah, it was just just that gut feeling that something wasn't right, and sure enough, doubled back and helped her out.
Well, we've recently, I suppose you heard, Hayden, was there any smell of any fuel leaking? Like, did you ask her?
No, there was nothing coming. She was in and out of consciousness. She couldn't even tell me her name or anything, so it was pretty full on. Yeah, and God knows how long or how many cars had passed her before I pulled up.
All right.
Was a big thing.
Well, we've got to stop. If you see something, stop.
Thank you,
stop.
Daniel. See, feel bad lesson. There?
Yeah, I do feel bad. I'll always stop from now on.
Good. Big breakfast, Richard. Triple E.
You won't. Married at First Sight. I love this. It's becoming a real ritual in my house. Sean, my husband, loves it as well. But often the kids will meander in or out, sit down on the bed, because we often watch it upstairs, you know, kind of having had dinner, gone lie up on the bed, and then the kids will wander in and out, and then they'll get bored with stuff. Or when it's my youngest, if any of the couples start to kiss or get naked in bed, he's out of there.
Is that still happening? Are they doing the kissing thing?
Yeah, they're still doing that, yeah. But this week is home week, and the chicks are going back to the blokes' homes and are meeting their families. And it's a good idea that if you want to have a relationship with someone outside of the experiment, you need to know how they live. And that has been an eye-opener for a number of people.
This is usually fun because the parents and brothers and sisters get to bag the new partner.
And like Jess the princess, you know, the one with the father who was a boxer. The one I mean. She's in Gympie.
I'll pull it down for you, Nick. Oh, she's gone to Gympie.
And has met the family and all the sheep. That's been kind of funny. But the four people, the two couples that are having the hardest time are Susie and Billy and Dan and Tamara, because they were the intruders and they came in, and then a week after they got married, they had to go to their home week. So they really haven't had a whole lot of time to just get to know each other, right? Mm-hmm. And that has proven to be rather difficult for Billy and Susie as they're at each other's throats. Those two will not survive. But the one that interested me last night, and this is what I want a ruling on, Dan and Tamara. Dan is the guy who's involved in a potential court case.
Fraud. Yeah, he's down at the Southport Magistrates.
That's the one. I'm only saying that because it gives you reference points to who he is.
Tamara's not the one who was caught pashing Todd Carney.
No, that's Susie. Oh, look, you do know.
Lord.
Anyway.
No, I read about it.
Okay, so they've gone to Dan's family and sat down. And so there's his mother and his two sisters.
Oh.
And they really gave a grilling. But it's this exchange that bothered me on so many levels.
A big part of my decision comes from your mum. Her opinion obviously means a lot to me. Just tell me straight up, what do you really think?
I don't think she's right, but you know. As a human being, though, she's a beautiful human being.
Yeah, she is.
But I haven't seen any touching. If you like somebody, you'd be touching one another. The warmth's not there, and I know you need that affection, and she just hasn't got it.
Lord. It's a Norman Bates.
Yeah.
Esque.
It's almost she wants to watch, I reckon.
It's just like, why does his opinions come from his mother when you're a grown adult male?
Oh, dear.
So I guess this is what I'm throwing out to you blokes, because you often teach me the ways of the male brain.
No.
Is this a normal thing? Do most blokes ask their mums?
Is this a trap?
What do you mean?
Are you going to trap us in something?
I'm not going to. Well, not intentionally, but it all could be fun if I do.
All right, come on. What's the question? Would you listen to your mum when you're a growing man?
Do you go and ask your mother about your relationships? Do you talk to Cheryl about Kath at all ever?
No.
I almost jokingly said I'd tell my mum to shut up, but then I know full well I'd get a text in 30 seconds saying, don't you tell me to shut up.
The Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Brisbane Comedy Festival is in the swing of things right now, and one of the best comedians in Australia has her show at the Visy Theatre, Tuesday 12th through the Sunday 17th of March, and she's here with us right now, Mel Buttle. How are you, mate?
Well, that's a big intro from you, Nick. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, I thought you thought I wasn't very good at comedy, so that's very kind of you to say that.
Do you assume that most comedians don't like you guys? Like, are you all great mates, or are you all out to kill each other?
We're all pretty good mates, I guess, but it's like any workplace. There's always one idiot. Like, there's always someone that no one gets on with. And I thought for a number of years that might be me, Robin.
No, couldn't be. Okay, Mel Buttle is a fun, hilarious, drinking staffy owner. So she's got at least one mate in me.
That's true. And we've both got a lot of gear about our beards, don't we, Nick? So.
Can I talk to you quickly about the Great Australian Bake Off? Because I find you on my Foxtel all the time. You kind of pop up and I think, wow, how did you get that gig?
Actually, at the time, I was still teaching high school part-time and I had to chuck a sickie to fly down to Sydney to do the audition for Bake Off. I just did the audition and then I thought, you know what, I've got no hope of getting this job because all the other people there were like well-known female presenters, really funny. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to have a muck around. And then lo and behold, they called this dickhead back. So I got it.
Buttle, I got to ask, baked good of choice. You go into a bakery, what is Mel Buttle going number one?
Look, I'm looking for a really good eclair with fresh cream, maybe, and maybe a little twist on the flavour. Maybe that's still a caramel eclair, a passion fruit eclair, not always chocolate.
Was Mum a baker? Did you always get home from school and there was something ready to go?
Yeah, I'd get home from school and Mum would have her glass of white wine ready to go. And no, she wasn't really. She was good at cooking dinner, but not a baker. No, she'd do a very nice beef stroganoff. Or an apricot chicken. They were her two absolute signature dishes.
Now, Buttle, your show's called Welcome Aboard. How much of it covers travel, airline travel in particular?
Yeah, there's a bit of travel in there, actually, because I did a lot of gigs last year. I did Singapore, I did India, New Zealand, Hobart, all over the world, really. And, yeah, there's a bit of... Oh, no, you're a frequent flyer, Nick. So, yeah, there's a bit of stuff in there.
I have
about
a platinum. What, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm platinum, really. I'm only gold, so I'm not as good as you. But, yeah, there's stuff about what it's like flying on a local Indian airline and how you start to write your will out in your iPhone and that sort of thing.
So how do Australian jokes transfer to Indians? Yeah. Does it work?
You have to speak slowly. They do understand English pretty well, but you just have no reference points. You can't, they don't know what a rissole is. You know, I don't know what kind of world they're living over there. you just gotta sort of adapt a little bit. You know, not too much swearing. They're actually quite conservative over there.
Well, we did the gigs in Singapore together, and it is funny to find out that bogans are a very Australian thing.
Oh, okay. Don't they all have bogans?
Any bogans in Singapore apart from Nick and I, really. We were like, what's chicken rice? What does that come with? Just chicken and rice? There's nothing else? Oh, okay, sure.
Welcome aboard. Is it the powerhouse? Starts tonight, goes until Sunday. You can grab your tickets, comedy.com.au. And I believe we have a couple to sling your way right now. So 133353. Mel Buttle, it is always a pleasure. You were wonderful during our Townsville appeal. And looking forward to seeing you again.
Thanks, mate.
One of the things I realised pretty early on in life, guys, is that I don't like working too hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been touring the world as a stand-up comic doing maximum 70 minutes of work a night. Now I'm here on Triple M, 3.5 hours a day, right? I am almost up to 5 hours a day work.
Good and that's, point.
That's sort of maximum for me. I worked a lot of jobs growing up and I just thought, nah, not my thing. So I'm always on the lookout for what is the easiest job going around. And flicking through the paper today, I've come across it. Researcher.
What are we researching?
Well, the researchers yesterday, I can't believe it, 2 days in a row, these researchers have just gotten away with some very, very easy work. Yesterday, they told us that redheads are being warned that they have a higher likelihood of developing melanoma.
Yeah, we were grateful researchers for that knowledge. Found that. Yes, right.
Yep. And so today I've decided to start a new segment. Right, so yesterday it was redheads are warned of their high likelihood of developing melanoma. The researchers at the University of Queensland discovered that redheads with more than 20 large moles were at a higher risk than those without. Well, wow, top job there, researchers. And today they've come out with, it turns out everyone, who would have even guessed? Thank God there's researchers toiling away on government grants to bring us these facts. Women who are regulars at the gym have more sexual partners. Oh, what? What? Did anybody see that coming? Fitter women get more roots. Oh, my God. No shit. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.